Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ground ball, it's fair ball. Crock to Paul. The Phillies are the 93 National League Eastern Division champions. This wonderful band of throwback players has won the National League East, mobbing one another on the field.
Yes. How many years ago? Almost.
I think
30 years.
50 at this point.
Well, not quite 50, Jack.
30.
60?
Moron.
But
nearly 30 years ago, 29 years ago, where were you when the Phillies beat the Pirates? Don Paul, close it out. Phillies win. Where was Larry Anderson that day? In the bullpen, I believe.
There you go.
For the 93 Phillies. What's up, L.A.?
Hey, guys, hey, to coin a phrase from something I heard last week, how about those Eagles?
Oh, man. So 10-7, you beat the Pirates. That was, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime team there for the city of Philadelphia. What do you remember about the last game when you clinched?
Just that it was muddy. It was messy. It was rainy. It was muddy. And it was like, let's just get this thing over with so we can go celebrate. That was honestly, I mean, we knew where we were at. We knew what we had done. We didn't know. I mean, we didn't take things for granted. But I think, like you talked about, like this town just took to that team. And I think a big part of it was because the way they played, the way they did things, the way they played winning baseball. They played small ball. They played large ball. They had four guys had 100 walks. I mean, they grinded out at bats. I mean, and it was everybody did everything right. I mean, the team had great chemistry. I think much like this team here does, but and I think these guys all get along great like we did. I don't know if I see the same intensity going out on the field. And I'm not saying it's not there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not calling them out. I'm just saying I don't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Thompson talks about the dugout, everything. Guys are always talking, pulling for each other.
Are they missing a Dave Hollins type or a Dutch type, L.A.?
I think, yeah. I think, the little things, and I know it was addressed, but little, and I went off on the air. I said, get him out of the game right now. When Brandon Marsh goes out to center field without sunglasses on and the sun is directly in your eyes.
And it costs him.
Directly above you. The shadow behind him, the shadow was directly behind him, meaning the sun is directly in front of him. It was up high, but it was right directed at him. Now, you go out there and you lose a ball in the sun because you don't have – I mean, I'm not, and it doesn't mean that you wouldn't lose it in the sun with sunglasses on. Guys have done that. I've seen that. We've all seen that. But give yourself a chance, and then to not do it, to not have the sunglasses on, and go back into center field, and stand there for the next play, the next pitch, the next hitter. Like, how embarrassing is it to run into the dugout and say, "I need sunglasses"? Mm. How much more embarrassing would it have been had another ball gone out to him and he lost it without sunglasses? I mean, and those things in the minor leagues, when those things happen, you were out. That was it. I watched Bobby Cox take Andrew Jones out of center field twice. And because of lackadaisical play, kind of nonchalant, a ball clanked it. I was like, come sit with me on the bench. Mm-hmm. In the middle of a game. This is the big league. Those things shouldn't happen. And to me, when you say, are they missing a Hollins or a Dutch type? Absolutely. Because before he could even gotten to the dugout, Dutch would have been at the other end of the dugout in his catcher's gear saying something to Brandon Marsh. Mm. It would have been. That's where you get I think that's where you make players accountable the most is when your peers confront you. And it doesn't have to be an embarrassing situation. It doesn't have to be a screamer. It's simple as going up and going, you know better than that. You've got to go out there with sunglasses. Come on. That's not winning baseball. We play winning baseball around here. It's something that I think the Braves have had for a long time, or had for a long time with Freeman. I think it's passed on to some younger players now, and Swanson and Riley. But they have that. It seems like they have that way about them that when things go bad, they've got the players to go and say, "Hey, we can't do this. We can't do
right.
that. That's not right." So, I mean, it's just one thing, and I'm not trying. I did count him. I mean, kind of focused on him, but I'm just making a point of the little things. You can't let those little things slide. And when you're going for a spot in the rotation, in the playoff rotation, you're trying to get a spot or maybe move up a spot. You don't make those mistakes. You can't. You have to. And that's just mental. That's not a physical mistake. That's a mental mistake. And those are, to me, is what's unacceptable. Not the physical ones you're going to make, but the
right.
The other ones you can't.
That's what I was going to say, LA. I'm like, if nothing else, it certainly gives you a little bit of a window into maybe the team wasn't ready to go in that game last night. They certainly didn't look like they came into that game when a day off as if they were the team that was fighting for the last wild card spot to make it into the postseason. And again, I'm with you here. Obviously, I know they want to get into the playoffs, and it's not that I'm questioning effort or what have you, but the level of intensity and the sense of urgency just doesn't seem like it's been there. And last night was just really another example of what we watched over the last 2 weeks where it seems like this team, I don't know, maybe they thought they had already locked it up and got in. It just doesn't seem like they are fighting with every tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. And I know that's not the case, but to the observers, it when you don't go out there with your glasses on your head, it's like, okay, are you really locked in and ready to go today?
Right. And that's the thing. The mental part of it, like there should not be any mental mistakes at this point. If you're locked in and saying, and that's the thing. I mean, however they get there is going to be great. If they lose the rest of their games and Milwaukee loses the rest of their games, they're still going to get in, which is going to be great. But do you really want to go in that way? I don't think so.
Right.
But if it happens to be that way, it happens to be that way. But the fact that they get in, that's what you want. You just hope that that you don't have any of these mental breakdowns. That the like you said, you don't see the sense of urgency. It doesn't mean it's not there, or the intensity.
Right.
But perception is pretty much reality. I mean, to each individual, if I perceive that they don't have that, then for me they don't. But that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know?
I think at this point we would like to believe that the Phillies could go into a series or we would like for them to be playing to where they go into a series and the other team's like, hey, well, this team could beat us, right? And one of the reasons I still have hope with that is Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. And Wheeler looked really good last night in six innings. Thompson took him out after six. He lost some command and some velocity in the six. I think it was the right move to take him out, even though Brogdon gave up a run in the seventh inning. But very happy that Wheeler has come back without rehab starts, and he's looked really good since coming back.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, that's huge. And I agree with you. You know, no matter what happens, I feel confident with because of where Wheeler's at. I feel confident you go into a three-game playoff with Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez. I'm good with that. I really am. And, you know, if that's not enough, so be it. It's not enough. But I'm happy with that. And if they get in and that's the route they go, I think they've got a chance. There's no question. But you want to see them winning. You want to see them to win. I want to see them win a wild card spot. I don't want to see them be forfeited a wild card spot. You know what I mean? I mean, go out there, fight for it, and take that spot. Even try and take out the Padres, who had a couple game lead on them now. Go after, look for that. Look for them to be the best wild card. Be the best team you can. Win the most games you can before it's over. And that's I obviously they want to, but is it? I don't know. I'm not sure what's missing. But
what's missing on offense? Like, how do you go out against Chicago and look listless?
That's what is the offense is missing. That's missing right now. The consistency of the offense. Now, is this? I don't know of any teams that get to playoffs without pitching. It's rare. I'm sure it's happened sometime in the past. But generally, the teams that get to the playoffs get there because they're pitching and defense. Obviously, there's teams that rake along with that. But if you don't have pitching and defense, you generally don't make it in the playoffs. Well, so you're going to face pretty good pitching. I mean, every time the Phils get shut down, it's, well, we face a pretty good pitcher. Well, we face like everybody in the league that pitches good against the Phillies is a pretty good pitcher. Like, they're not. There's a lot of terrible pitchers in the major leagues. I'm sorry, there just is. I mean, I'm a guy that has said under my breath for the last 15 years that we need contraction. We need fewer teams so we can have better talent at the big league level. The more teams you have, the less talent you have. That's my feeling. You can look around and you can take a handful of guys off of just about every team and go, this guy's, he's, I don't know if he's really that good. If he's, and I'm serious. So not everybody is a great pitcher. There's a lot of guys. And it seems like, well, we can bang up on guys with six ERAs, but you get a guy with an ERA under four, we struggle with them. That you should be able to win a lot of those games. And I know we have this year, we've won some, but it seems like of late that we face good pitching. We just
struggle.
We can't hit them. And that's a cause for reason or concern for me.
Nola has been okay of late.
If last night, here we go again. If you just watch Stroman, how many pitches did he throw at the knees or below? Probably 80% of them. We didn't do anything. Right, here we go. What'd Brogdon do? He gets ahead of who's the guy Happ? Is it Happ that hit the ball down the right field line? A high fastball. He didn't get high enough. When are we going to stop with this nonsense of if you have to, every time you get two strikes, you got to throw a pitch up in the zone? Why don't we try the opposite? Just try it for a game or two. I mean, it's not going to hurt. Try and pitch at the knees for a game. See if you can do that. And then tell me what the results are. I would love somebody to be able to do that, but I don't know if we're going to, see it.
Maybe next year, LA. Maybe next year.
Hey, and I got an idea. Maribeth gave me a great idea for next year.
Yeah.
And if we're going to continue this, I'd like to. How about doing the shows on Tuesdays? Because most Mondays we're off.
I liked it.
It might keep you employed part-time a lot longer, LA.
Yes, exactly.
I like that.
All right, Tuesdays it is. Going forward, LA's record on Tuesday much better than on Wednesday.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, LA, listen, I think we're at least feeling good about the playoffs, the Phillies making the playoffs. Let's just get a couple wins, two more against the Cubs, and then they have four, weather permitting. We know the Hurricane's coming up towards us, so you hope they can get those games, and I don't know what they do if they can't.
I don't know. I'm going to be on hold because I'll have to, next Thursday, head to wherever wherever they're going.
St. Louis.
I don't want to be just taking flights just for the heck of it. Let me check out St. Louis for they're not here. Okay, let me hit Atlanta. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, maybe New York.
You and Scott could always drive out there and just kind of document the whole thing via video. Yeah. Jack would come with you in the back seat.
There we go.
All right. LA, listen. We'll get a couple wins. We'll be feeling better next week, right?
No question. All right, fellas.
All right, LA.
All right, brother.
All right, be well, man. That's right. Larry Anderson, there you go. It's when your offense is, and we know they have good pitchers, but when your offense is supposed to be carrying you and they're really not, I mean, it's a tough way to lose to the Cubs, 2-1.
They'll hit tonight.
Is this the night where they break out? Too much hitting tonight?
Well, I don't know if they break out. I just think they'll hit tonight.
Jack, 12 runs tonight?
Their offensive approach has just been so brutal. They haven't grinded out a pitcher in a while. Like when Girardi first got fired, they were taking down some of the best pitchers in the NL.
And yeah.
It feels like the again, like LA said, like the intensity just hasn't been there. So the guys going tonight has good stuff, which is generally hasn't been good against this team, but I don't know.
So it's not a night that
I have
hit.
No idea. I got no feel. I got absolutely no feel.
No, but to your point, previous Phillies teams have dug into the starter to get him out by the sixth or seventh inning by making him throw a lot of pitches. Then you get into the bullpen.
Yeah, like against Alcantara.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, they really have, and that's just – it's not happening enough. All right, back to the phones after we hear from Mike.
Eagles fans, AAA is hooking up Eagles MVP members all season long. That's right. There are some big games coming up. How about Sunday? Jacksonville. Then you got Dallas. A couple weeks at home Sunday night. Now, AAA is giving away a bunch of tickets and sideline passes to every home game and other big-time events coming up soon. New members get a $20 credit to the Eagles Online Pro Shop and legendary AAA roadside assistance 24/7. Don't miss out. Do what I did and become a AAA Eagles MVP member today. Go to AAA.com/Eagles for details and become an MVP today.
That's and we're talking Nick Sirianni and Doug as Doug spoke to the media today. Sam and King of Prussia had something on the Phillies and Joe DeCamera, though. Sam, go ahead, buddy. What's up?
Sam is not in King of Prussia today. Sam is in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Oh,
wow. The road, gentlemen.
How is it up there? Beautiful?
Oh, it's beautiful, but I'm worried about the connection. So if I conk out, I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
So, Ike.
Yes.
Ike, you fired me up, man, because I had to listen to Joe come, because I've been on the road for a couple hours now.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard Joe, and then I was asking people, he's like, do you feel pride about the Phillies? Are you proud of them?
Yeah.
I really just want to stuff him in his bathtub. Like, I can't, like... Like, dude, they made the – who cares about the wild card? Like, if they make the playoffs, they haven't made the playoffs in years. And you're going to make Jack cry and, like – and, Jack, I have a bone to pick with you about fantasy football in about 2 seconds.
Oh, super. Can't
but
wait.
Like, I mean, like, just can we stop? Like, I'm already depressed with how they're going into the playoffs. I don't need to now be like, should they even be a wild card? Like, just
yes.
Stop, man. Like, just be happy.
Man, yeah, if nothing else, allow everybody else to be happy if they want to be happy. Don't try to encourage people to be upset that they're making the playoffs.
Now, can you tell John to just, like, stiff-arm him? Is that a possibility? Like, maybe?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he does want to from time to time. You're talking about Richie, right, or you're talking about Marks?
I'm talking about Richie.
Okay.
Richie wants to do more than stiff-arm him.
Yeah, probably. Throw him through a picnic table. But anyway. So Jack, real quick, am I playing you in fantasy football this week or Colton?
You're playing Colton.
It says Jack Britt.
So Yahoo doesn't let me just be the commissioner. Yeah, Yahoo doesn't let me be the commissioner. So every year I pick someone that has to co-manage the team with me. So this year it's Colton.
Okay, so you're like an entity. Like, you're merged as a person.
Jack doesn't actually do anything with the team. It's just a way for him to be able to be the commissioner of the league.
Yes.
Make his last five picks, like, so I feel like
he
I
did.
Colton had been drinking.
Yeah, Colton got too drunk and emotional. Ike was giving him a hard time. Well, guys, he wasn't handling it well.
Boy, he was taking 20 minutes between each pick.
And every time everything made fun of him, it turned into a 40-second conversation. Like, you know, wouldn't just chuckle and move on. It was not a great showing from the human rain delay, Colton and Oxford.
I think you're being kind. It was more like 45 minutes.
That's
man.
What I'm
he
saying,
had to put
man.
Out, like, 911 calls to find him.
Yeah, because he was looking for drinks.
Oh man,
what's
yeah,
him?
Man, it was brutal. But guys, have a good day, and
you too.
I'll be listening to you.
All right, buddy.
All right, Sam, be safe, brother.
Appreciate it. There you go.
Yeah, Colton was like, bro, we've been here since 1 o'clock today, bro.
Yeah, like we're like, come on, man, this is the 12th round.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even care who's on
yeah,
my team
I don't
at this
who
point.
Who the hell you pick, man? Pick somebody.
I don't care who I pick either.
I think I picked Amari Rodgers for him, who's like just returning punts barely. For
well,
the
Wade was picking players that were
yeah,
in the league.
Yeah, exactly, and he's somehow still 2-1.
It's amazing. It really it just goes to.
He's got an eye for talent.
Apparently so.
Apparently so.
Also, we had the caller calling yesterday that was pitching us on a new punt returner. Quadri Henderson.
Yes.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, so someone reached out to me that coaches with him. So Quadri actually isn't in the CFL anymore because he broke his leg last season.
Oh, wow.
So he's not playing again this year, but he is coaching high school football, and he says he's a great dude. And look at some Pitt highlights because he looks like he could help the Eagles.
Okay.
So shout out to Michael out there. I didn't see it yesterday when he DM'd me the information. So there you go. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. So officially, the official Phillies tone for the show is feeling good, Jack?
It's feeling just please make the playoffs. Like, yep. I can't have the confidence that I would like to have. Like, I don't have like a bunch of win. I can't do the cocky thing because I wake up every day thinking the sky is going to fall. Like, I'm legitimately nervous about where this team is at. Like, I know they're 2.5 games up. I know their magic number went down last night. The Cardinals clinched the division last night, so they're probably going to be lackadaisical today, which means the Brewers probably win. Like, I'm legitimately nervous. So they're probably going to have to backdoor their way in there. But it's just.
I'll be happy when they get in the playoffs just because they're in the playoffs, but this isn't fun.
No, it's not like 07. Like 07, they chased down the Mets, they won the division, and it was like they ended the playoff drought. This is like, yeah, you're going to make the playoffs, but like in any other year, you wouldn't have made the playoffs.
There's a difference between anxiety when your team is trying to get into the playoffs and just being a painful end of the season. This has been painful the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's like the 2019, it's more like the 2019 Eagles.
Yeah, where they had to run the table and get the last four, and they needed help.
Yeah, it wasn't like rah-rah, but...
No, that's the 18 Eagles that needed help.
Yeah, 18, that's when Kirk had to collapse.
So they controlled their own destiny in 19. They just had to win the last four.
19 is when they beat the scrubs down the stretch, and then Wentz got hurt.
215-592-9494.
Thanks for reminding us again.
Nick Sirianni and Doug Peterson, who has more staying power? Dan Orlovsky also has a big, capital B-I-G, comp for this Eagles offense. Is he getting ahead of himself, or is it fair? We'll play that for you coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Marks and Reese, we are back. Twitter questions today brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Get the VIP treatment at Marks Jewelers with a personal diamond consultant to help you select the perfect engagement ring. Online, marks-jewelers.com. So Dan Orlovsky on the Rich Eisen Show.
Philadelphia, huh?
Yeah. Comparing the Eagles offense to?
They're the 2021 Rams offensively.
Wow.
You know, the Rams were so good last year out of empty, no backs in the backfield, five guys blocking, because one, the quarterback was really good at figuring out who to throw the ball to, and you just couldn't match up against them. Right now, Jalen Hurts out of empty is 14 of 16 for 200 yards. He's a QBR of 98 out of empty. The hard part when they get into empty is you got to be big enough, skilled enough, strong enough, and fast enough. You got to be big enough to go, can we cover AJ one-on-one? Are we strong enough or skilled enough to cover Devontae Smith one-on-one? Are we strong enough to cover Dallas Goedert one-on-one? And then are we fast enough to cover Quez Watkins one-on-one? Not a lot of teams can.
Mm. Too early to be that deep into it? Or, I mean, he's spitting out facts about what the Eagles have done so far this year.
Yeah, through three games.
Yeah.
I mean, through three games. I mean, we scored 24 points in the first half of the last two games.
Well, they haven't scored a second half point since the third quarter of the Lions game.
Right.
So the games did feel like that they weren't as close as they actually were. So, but there's going to be a test at some point, whether it's this week against the Jags or you go to Arizona next week. And it's almost like that. I wish that we could have a test sooner rather than later because I'm curious to see how they respond to it. Maybe the Jags are the test this week, Ike.
No, they will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Kimberly, the VP of the LTBB, checks in. Kimberly, how are you? Kim, are you there? Hello. Let's try her again. Kim, go ahead, hon. Kimberly. Kimberly. Let's try Phil. We'll try to get Kim up. Phil in Delaware. Phil, go ahead. How are you?
Great.
four quick points. Dak Prescott coming back quick after a bad thumb injury. Two words. Bryce Harper. Second thing. Who signs the front of the check and who signs the back of the check? Lori knows who signs the front. Third, there's been almost no, in the modern era, people were playing.
So let me just stop you on that one. What are you saying about Jeffrey Lurie?
I'm saying that Jeffrey Lurie sits there. He's not going to Herm Edwards you, right? I mean, the guy, he's not going to Herm Edwards you. But
I don't even know what that means.
Fire you on the field, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's got patience, right? He's got some patience. But he knows, like, I own companies. Like, you know who signs the front of the check and who signs the back of the check, right? And so I think Sirianni's going to last a lot longer because I think Peterson didn't realize, you know, you get some employees that think, hey, this is my company. No, it's not. Lurie's signing the front of the check. You're signing the back of the check. Okay? And while he's a nice guy, and I know I like her, right? I love her. My brother sits fat at mass with her every week. Okay? He's a great guy. But it's like, you know, he lost the control of his staff, and it went quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, it went quick. So the thing is, he can always go quick. But I think that Peterson, he just didn't quite understand. It's like,
well, didn't it feel like at the end, Phil, that Doug was just, he was like, the whole situation had kind of just blown up, and he was more or less like, you know, what if I'm not here anymore, I'm not here anymore. Almost like, yeah, it was a sense of relief that it was over.
I think he didn't care, right? It's like, I think at the end it was kind of like, I just don't care, and I'm looking for some reason. Maybe he was looking for a reason to get fired, right? I mean, people do that.
Yeah.
They do. They sit there and they go, well, you know, and so maybe he's looking for a reason. I mean, I just get the feeling that Sirianni, while he's got some corny stuff that goes on and, you know, he does this and he does that, it's like at the end of the day, he'll sit there. I hate that phrase, but at the end of the day, if Lurie says through Howie, we're doing this, he's going to say, well, I'd really like to kind of do this, and here's my reasons why, but. Okay.
Right. But see, Phil, like, I know we like to talk about this thing where Jeffrey Lurie threw Howie. Like, what exactly are we talking about? Like, he's calling plays, or he has an offensive philosophy that he wants Nick Sirianni to run, and that's being, and Jeffrey Lurie's saying that, and he's giving that to Howie, and that's, like, I mean, it makes for fun fodder to talk about when the Eagles aren't good. I just think Jeffrey Lurie's involved in the organization, period. I don't think that includes play calling and a lot of the things that, like, we like to bring up. I mean, we know he was involved in the draft process.
Yeah. Okay. In what way, though? When we say involved, we just throw that out there without saying exactly what that means.
No, I know. I'm not, like, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Just saying, when we say involved, he's sitting in on meetings. All owners sit in during the draft when the draft is there. The owners are there. Jeffrey Lurie's not going out with binoculars scouting players. So what involvement, other than the fact that he's being kept abreast of what's happening with his football team, as he should be, as he's the one who signs the front of the checks for everybody in the building. He's being kept abreast of what's going on and what's the plan for his football team moving forward. That's what the owner, that's his involvement. He's not involved from a game plan, from a personnel standpoint. He's not involved in any of those things. That's why he's hired the people that he's hired. You think a billionaire wants to sit? Only Jerry Jones wants to be involved in day-to-day operations. Rest of the owners have other things that they tend to throughout the week. Then they probably have meetings at some point to be brought up to date on what's going on with their football team. That's to me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
His involvement. Like, when we say Jeffrey Lurie's involved, he's not picking players. At least I don't think so.
No. No, I guess that's what I'm saying is there's a lot of, well, Jeffrey Lurie wants this, so he puts it through Howie and he does this or does that. Like, I don't really know what that means or what the example of that would be. Outside of maybe him being a little bit too involved in the draft process, which was talked about, which he actually talked about before. Rasheem in North Philly. Hi, Rasheem. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Rasheem.
What's up, Ra?
What's up, Ike? I think one of the things that, you know, messed Doug Peterson up, I think it was more so Howie Roseman. You picking J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jalen Reagor, the 2019 season that Carson Wentz went to there to the playoffs. Jason Peterson was out. A 39-year-old tackle, the offensive line was in shambles. Mm-hmm. Yes, we could blame Doug Peterson for some of it, but I think Howie Roseman has to play like a huge part of that because the personnel is only going to be as good as the coaches. To me, that's how I look at it. Yes, right now we could look at it just 3 games into the season. Yes, Nick Sirianni is doing all well, but we're still only 3 games into the season. We're talking about a Super Bowl winning coach. I never seen somebody get fired so fast in 1 year based off what they did based off a bunch of nothing to me. I really don't know. You can't tell me what's the reason why Doug Peterson got fired? Because he had one bad year. The guy won a Super Bowl. I think he should have probably still been here. And then as the talent evaluation got better, I think the team would have been better. We was a terrible, talented team with Doug Peterson at the end of his tenure. And we all know he wasn't picking the players. So who's more to blame for that?
The GM. The GM, it's fair. It's fair, Rasheem.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, are you serious?
Yep.
J.J. So we had Carson Wentz for a whole full season throwing the ball to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, then the Forster. Like, come on, people.
Greg Ward came in. He was their most reliable wide receiver.
He is the sixth wide receiver right now. He's not on the football team. But we're going to pitch this whole blame on Doug Peterson, who tried his best. Yes, we could talk about how his coaching staff, I guess, wasn't impressive, but we don't know that. Because I'm pretty sure we go down the list of coaching staffs throughout the NFL, half these people we don't even know.
We wouldn't even know, yep.
Exactly. So this whole thing about, yes, you know, he's what coaches do you want on his staff? Because at the end of the day, his staff right now, Mike McCoy, Mike Caldwell, a bunch of guys that I don't think a lot of people even know about unless you pay attention to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So to sit there and say that we'll pick Nick Sirianni over the dude who would on the call plays, at least Doug was calling his plays the year he won a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni don't live a call plays. So to be an offensive coach, you don't call plays. I don't know. Like, it's really
– Rasheem,
how they did my man.
Great points.
Yeah.
It's great. You have great points.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would say is that as he lost his coordinators, mm-hmm. and the further he got away from Frank Reich, DeFilippo, et cetera, remember Torrey Smith, I think he said it on the show, he said mm-hmm. that this is the exact same offense they were running in 2017, and by this point it was 2, 3, 4 years later, and it never evolved past that, right? Like, there were no new wrinkles. They were essentially running the same things they were doing before.
Yeah.
And it was that they couldn't. They just couldn't replicate the success they had with Frank Reich and with DeFilippo.
No, you know why? Because Rasheem just said the players stunk.
Let's do.
Like, all you gotta do is go look at the roster and tell me the players that they were supposed to go win with on that 2020 team.
The bad team. And Carson Wentz was playing.
He was
terribly.
Right along with him.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it didn't mean that Jalen Reagor was a good wide receiver. Doesn't mean Alshon Jeffrey should have still been on the team. DeSean Jackson shouldn't have still been on the team. The group of running backs that they had. Like, it doesn't mean all those things didn't matter also. Maybe if you had better players, then Wentz wouldn't have been as bad as he was. If he's not throwing the Reagor and Arcega-Whiteside and Alshon Jeffrey. Who could win with those guys?
Yeah, I mean,
nobody. That's why none of them are in the league right now other than Rager, and he's a punt returner. And we'll see if he's still in the league after his first contract is up.
They're not looking great for that right now. But, I mean, it's something that you – I mean, when he got let go, it felt like it was the right move because just how bad it had gotten.
It was the right move. I'm just saying that it wasn't because he didn't know how to coach anymore, any of those other things. I want to know who would have won with that collection of players. Like, what were we expecting from that group?
Nick Sirianni, Jack, would he have won with that please. Collection of players?
Well, probably would have been 3-0 at least.
Kimberly, the VP, hang on one second, because fall is upon us that time of year again to start to consider replacing your old drafty windows and doors before another cold winter season rolls in. And when I need a company to help me with my home projects, I turn to the experts, my good friends at Guida Door and Window. Act now. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. Plus, Guida will allow you to start your project today with no money out of pocket. And you could take up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. And once the job is expertly installed, you'll be able to start enjoying all the benefits of your new, highly energy-efficient windows and doors, including an increased comfort level in your home, lowered monthly energy bills, and you're taking advantage of 20% savings and having the luxury of paying off your project with 0% interest for up to 36 months. But you have to act now. This offer is for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Guida today to schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate. 877-GO-GUIDA. 877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, GUIDA.com. Let's go to Kimberly, the vice president of the LTBB. What's up, Kim? How are you?
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
So you started the show off talking about sort of comparing Doug and Nick, and I've been thinking about that. And I see, we've talked about this a little bit before, but I see a lot of parallels between how their careers in Philadelphia started. So, you know, they both were offensive coordinators somewhere else and came here. They've both worked with Frank Reich in some capacity. Their first season, they both worked with a young/new quarterback and did okay. You know, Doug was 7-9, Nick was 9-8. And then they both started out their second season pretty strong. Doug was 2-1, we're 3-0. And we ended up 13-3 that year. Vegas has us winning 12.5 games this year. So It feels like they both came in, had to get their footing under them, and then in the second year, you know, the quarterbacks took a big leap. They started, you know, the teams got much better. And if we can continue that parallel, that means we are headed to the Super Bowl, which would be amazing.
And the initial response to both coaches was not over what wasn't positive for sure.
Right. It was like, who the heck is this guy? Where did he come from? Why do we want him here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then and they were given, you know, new staff, again, new quarterbacks or in Jalen's case, relatively new quarterbacks, young quarterbacks to work with. So I do also think with Doug, when Doug left, sort of not related to Nick now, hopefully this does not continue. But it felt like when he started to struggle in 2019 and 2020, we heard more and more rumors about the front office getting involved. And this happens a lot. Like, I own a company and it happens a lot in management. That if someone's starting to struggle, you can do one of two things. You can either give them some room and some support, or you can start to micromanage them. And eventually, no one can take being micromanaged that much if it keeps increasing, increasing. And you get frustrated and you leave. And that's what I always thought, at least from the outside, that's what it always felt like to me with Doug. The more he was trying to correct things, the more the front office got involved, you know, and to the point that he couldn't even pick his own coaches anymore.
And the more he was fine with it being over.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's a good read on it, Kim.
Yep. Appreciate it, Kim.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
See,
OVP, I'm sorry.
I remember, Jack, do you remember that there was a story that came out that even said, like, Doug would almost be okay with being fired or not coming
Tony
back?
Tony Pauline at the beginning of, like, what, September of 2020?
Was it that early in the season?
It was very, very early in the year, yeah. Just, like, kind of shocking to hear.
Well, because maybe he had put that out there somewhere, like, hey, if they fire me, I'm okay with that. This is going downhill.
Yeah, I guess
when you're on the inside, you can see things eroding. Like, you can see them, and he's closer to the situation. And, yeah, sometimes you are okay because he didn't know what direction things were going to head in over the next few years. And if he wasn't going to have I guess the amount of say or what have you that he felt like he deserved with his staff and other things, then it probably was best for him to move on.
Yeah, agreed.
And he got a chance to take a year off and get rejuvenated, and he had some personal stuff going on in his family with his brother that he was able to tend to. And, you know, who's to say that year off didn't help Doug become a better coach? You know, seeing the error of his ways. The guy won the Super Bowl so fast, you know, that I'm pretty sure that was overwhelming. Like, hold on. I just went from being under Coach Reed pretty much my entire career that we just won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
In a 2-year span? From Kansas City to being hired here to potentially being undermined by your D coordinator, all this other stuff, and the next thing you know, you're a Super Bowl champion. Okay, now how do I handle all of that moving forward when other teams are poaching my coaches off my roster, off my staff? Right? So it run its course. Doug's in a better situation right now, and the Eagles are in a better situation right now.
Worked out for everybody.
Because the one thing I know or I feel about the Eagles that most people are hesitant and reluctant to embrace or accept, they know what they're doing. Their formula for success to at least keep them relevant and give them an opportunity to be successful has worked for them. It has worked for them. You may not like who's making final decisions, this, that, and the other. How can you argue with the fact that they are in – if you like the position that they're in right now, then how can you argue against what their philosophy is? They hired Doug when no one else was going to hire Doug. They put his staff together. The analytics department that everybody's so worried about, well, the fourth down, the going for fourth downs, what do you think, that was Doug? He invented football somehow, and now he's going for them fourth down? No, that's their analytics department that gave him that information, that's what you should be doing. And now it's a trend around the league.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's a trend around the league. So they put together a Super Bowl winning staff and team from their own plucking of the available candidates. Neither Doug nor Nick Sirianni at the top of anybody's list, at the top of anybody's wish list. Organization gets mocked for hiring both guys. One guy goes on to win the Super Bowl. The other guy everybody's in love with now after a year ago. You mocked him a year ago for being hired.
Yeah.
So maybe the Eagles know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they certainly rebounded quickly from 2020.
And they always do.
And they always do.
They always rebound after a tough year.
Chip turns it into what it was, and then you have a 7-9 year, and then you win the Super Bowl the following year.
Well, they went from a disastrous 2012 season with Andy in his final year and everything that happened there, and that was at the end of a 3-year turmoil and saga behind the scenes when Joe Banner was still here and everything else was going on. So that 2010 saved Andy probably. The Michael Vick experience saved Andy.
Yeah.
Gave him a few more years. That quickly went away in 11 and 12. Then you bring in Chip Kelly. Right? They're at the forefront of this guy. Sports science.
Oh, man.
All these other things and practices and speed, all this other stuff. It didn't last long because his personality is terrible and what have you. But they were at the forefront of that. And guess what? They moved on from him. Like the caller said earlier, a coach that had 2 10-win seasons in his first 3 years. They fired him, moved on, won the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Yeah.
So how can you disagree with what the Eagles front office, whatever it is they decide their philosophy is, how he's sitting in on me, whatever it is, it's worked for him.
It works.
It works for him.
It does. I mean, just look at the record. Since 2000, go look at what they've done. A lot of that was Andy Reid. A lot of it wasn't Andy Reid.
Man, Andy was here. Andy's not here anymore. They've won the Super Bowl since. They've been in the postseason. Yeah. How many times since Andy's been gone?
Yeah.
So it's not – I mean, I love Big Red too, but he's not here anymore.
Nope. Practice today, Ike. A.J. Brown was not there attending to a personal matter. No Slay, no Dickerson. The official report's not out yet, but they did not practice according to members of the media.
Not surprised with Slay. He fought through that game Sunday to finish it. Dickerson fought to even play in the game Sunday. And I think he had to come out a time or two.
He did.
Yep. So not surprised he's getting an extra day off. And then AJ, personal matter, I know what that is. Yeah.
Some people are saying like he was expecting the birth of his second kid.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you think when AJ Brown has a second kid, he's going to put a little baby Batman cat cape on? That'd be a good little look, I think.
He might.
Coming up, Brian Baldinger. So Baldy's going to tell us what he thought about the Eagles'
Baldy.
Win against Washington, what to make of Jonathan Gannon's defense and what he's doing. But also, he studied what Doug and Trevor Lawrence are doing in Jacksonville. How good is that defense with the Jaguars? All of that.
My boy Zeke down there.
With Baldy. Mike Caldwell.
Zeke.
Defensive coordinator
down there.
Now,
if I cut that in the wrong audio, the wrong context, I might think you're a Cowboys fan around here.
Yep.
Oh, it's because of the Zeke? Yeah.
My boy Zeke. Yeah, let's
see. Yeah, and knowing you, you would cut it in the wrong context.
We'll get back to your phone calls as well next segment. 215-592.
Ooh, boy, I almost got a 10-incher.
94-94. Baldy on everything coming up next. But hey, listen, BetMGM customers, if you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account. Click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. Once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. BetMGM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.